Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 16. Jesus says, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, who do you depend on in life? When we were really young, we were totally and absolutely dependent on our parents. But as we grew up, we started depending more and more and more upon ourselves. Many people feel that it is best to become completely independent so you don't rely on anyone. But is that really the best way to live? I think one of the things that makes my marriage to my wife so wonderful is that I depend on her and she depends on me. I depend on her for certain things and she depends on me for other stuff. If I were to lose her, I'd be in financial ruin because she pays all the bills. She knows what the bills are. I have no clue. And so I am definitely dependent upon her. So I'm not sure that total independence is the best way to go. In our text for today, we see two completely different people. And from the view on the outside, it looks like it's their economic status that sets them apart. But what really is at the center of the difference between these two people is their level of dependence upon God. Now, in our text, Jesus gives us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus describes the rich man in one little sentence. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. The rich man was dependent on no one. Surely he had servants who catered to his every whim, but with his money, he really wasn't dependent on them because he could just hire more servants. And to be sure, he had friends and family coming, all over the place. But again, if something happened to them with his wealth, he would just attract more friends. The only other thing that we are told about the rich man is that the rich man also died and was buried and in Hades being in torment. From that statement right there, we can pretty well gather that the rich man wasn't at all dependent upon God. All he cared about was himself and his money and his clothes and his sumptuous food. What I find really interesting is that Jesus doesn't even give the rich man a name. He is anonymous. He could be anyone. While we are given very little information about the big, important, independent, rich man, we are given so much more information about Lazarus. I mean, first off, we see very quickly, he's got a name. And we are told that that Lazarus's main hangout was at the rich man's gate. Not only was he at the rich man's gate, but he was laid at the rich man's gate, which means that he's not even capable of sitting. He's not capable of standing. We are told that he is poor. We are told that he is covered with sores and that he desired to be fed from anything that fell from the rich man's table. In other words, he was hungry. So pathetic was his situation that he could not stop the household dogs from coming and licking at his sores. I know, In Sunday school, your Sunday school teacher probably told you that those dogs licking on his sores was a source of relief for him. But dogs back then weren't like dogs today. It would be more like you're laying out in front of your house and the squirrels come and start licking at your sores. And of course, we would start pushing them away because that's just icky. Well, that's about the way it would have been back then. He was totally at the mercy of those dogs. The last thing we're told about Lazarus is that he died and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. That is just a beautiful, beautiful picture. Well, after a life of pain and sorrow, Lazarus finally gets some much-needed relief, and he's not only in heaven, but he is right by Abraham's side, which would have been absolutely fantastic for anybody of the Jewish faith. Reading between the lines, because he was taken to heaven, Lazarus was totally dependent on God his whole entire life. And while he never got the good things in life, he still put all his trust in God. So maybe being dependent on someone isn't such a bad thing. Well, after we get the descriptions of these two fellows, the scene changes from their life here on earth to a picture of life in heaven and hell. As we would expect, the rich man is in torment and in anguish in hell, while Lazarus is enjoying the pleasures of heaven, sitting again at Abraham's side. And as the rich man looks up, he sees Lazarus in luxury at Abraham's side, and he calls out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." And for the first time, we find out something very important in this story. We find out that indeed the rich man is Jewish. He considers himself to be a child of Abraham. And yet the very fact that he isn't in heaven next to Lazarus, we also know that he didn't believe in God's promise to send a Savior. So again, he depended on himself and he didn't think he needed God. We also learn that even though he's in torment, even though he is in anguish, his attitude hasn't changed at all. Look at the text carefully. Are there any words of repentance there? Are there any words of asking for forgiveness? In fact, what we see is his self-centered attitude continues to come through. The rich man asks Abraham to send poor Lazarus down into hell to give a little bit of comfort to that rich man. He doesn't care about Lazarus' discomfort as he travels down to hell. He sees Lazarus as a servant of Abraham, willing to do the rich man's bidding. So even though he shows a little dependence there, it really comes much, much too late. Now the text could have ended right then and there, but it doesn't. The conversation continues between the rich man and Abraham. When he asks Abraham again to send Lazarus back to warn his five brothers, and Abraham's reply is simple. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the rich man is insistent. Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But then Abraham drops the bomb. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Now, to really understand how important that statement is, we have to understand who the rich man represents. Five verses prior to this text for today, Luke describes the Pharisees as lovers of money. And after talking about the Pharisees being the lovers of money, then 5 verses later, he gives this story of the rich man and Lazarus. So most likely, it's the Pharisees who are the rich man. They are in the synagogue week after week after week, and they are reading Moses and the prophets week after week after week, but you know what? They're not listening. They are stubborn and stiff-necked and self-reliant and trusted in nothing except for the fact that they were descendants of Abraham and figured that that would get them into heaven. The fact of the matter is that Jesus' statement came true. Someone did come back from the dead and warned them, but they didn't listen to him either. For 3 days after he died on the cross, Jesus came back and he warned the whole entire world. Jesus' disciples proclaim his resurrection from the rooftops. They proclaimed the resurrection in front of the Pharisees after they had been arrested. The Pharisees heard that message and they knew that Jesus rose, and they still didn't believe a word Jesus said. So most of them, like the rich man, probably ended up in misery and torment and anguish. There are 2 lessons for us to take away from this text today. The first one is quite simple. Put your dependence upon God and not on the things and the wealth of this world. And the second one is simple as well. Listen to the Word of God. Being rich, wearing the best clothing, eating the best food day in and day out did no good for the rich man. He still ended up in hell. Lazarus, on the other hand, was dependent on God each and every single day of his life, and he ended up in heaven. The implication is that he listened to Moses and the prophets. He trusted in the Word of God. God's Word is living and active. God's Holy Spirit works in the Word and in the sacraments, and it works in our hearts to destroy our independence and to show us how dependence on God is a good thing. Our lesson for today really is all about priorities. You see, there's nothing wrong with being rich and wealthy. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the rich man's priorities. His clothing, his food, his high status were all priorities in his life. God wasn't even found on that list. But because Lazarus was dependent upon God for everything, God was the number one priority in Lazarus's life. And so he ends up in heaven. When you're dependent on God, when he is number one in your life, you also end up in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.